This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Last week, we got to speak with a couple of our legislators during the Douglas County Fair, but we're doing another legislative interview today, not from the fair, but State Representative Court Boyce is actually over in Bend today. Court, thanks for being on. What's your trip over in Bend all about?
Well, Kyle, good day. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for having me on. Got an invitation from the Central Oregon Cities organization. They paid our way over here, and we're talking about everything from statewide emergency response, housing, homeless, deflection on our addictions, wildfire challenges. First I'm really sad to hear about the Dixon Fire and the evacuations, and wildfire has just been my number one issue for years as a commissioner and now as a state legislator, and of course finding the funding. I could talk about that for that alone for a half hour. So it's something that we have got to address, and Eastern Oregon's been hit, as you know, Kyle, extremely hard this year.
Now, are there a lot of lawmakers over at this meeting that you're at?
There's about five from around the state. Rep Owens from District 60, southeast corner of Oregon. Representative Levy, a couple others that have an interest in seeing what Central Oregon is doing. Great growth here, great planning, a lot of water challenges, groundwater rulemaking. And so last Wednesday, I was at a full-day ODOT meeting, Oregon Department of Transportation in Coos Bay. And, we've got some serious funding issues there. So as a legislator, I'm battling for rural Oregon in my district and making sure that we get our share and very important maintenance and ODOT highway improvements. So that was a very productive day. We got a lot of excellent public input. And so, I was at the Douglas County Fair all day Saturday. And of course, that's always a treat. It's just a wonderful part of southwestern Oregon. And then I left Saturday late to come to Bend. I'm actually in Madras right now. I slipped into the Madras Fire Chief's office, so I get a little quiet here and be available to you.
So talk about the Oregon Department of Transportation situation around Oregon. Seems like we're really at a place where a lot of different types of infrastructure, roads and bridges alike, are needing serious repair or to be reconstructed. All of those come at a high cost, and it usually takes a lot of work to develop multiple funding streams to pull these projects off.
Well, I couldn't have said it better, and so that's what we're going to be tasked with the 25 full session. They're a couple hundred million dollars down, and so everybody looks to the general fund. Just like for the firefighting, I'll just divert to that for a moment. The state fire marshal right now is at $30 million, so about $4 million over budget. Oregon Department of Forestry, their record of putting out fires is just exemplary. And so now they're struggling, and they were struggling before this fire season. We're officially at 1.4 million acres, or very close now, which breaks the record for total number of acres lost in a given average fire season. And here we're just going into the second week of August, or into the second week. So ODOT, we're not opposed to bike lanes, but it's a spending priority that around the state of Oregon that you see has been put in the infrastructure plans. And it's just kind of sad to see that, in my view, what is not good funding priority and not what we should be doing for the state of Oregon. And yes, the bridges get sacrificed. The small community and the big community projects get put aside or delayed, and then we find ourselves in this kind of a upside down budget. So we're going to have to deal with that, and of course, fire is number one in my opinion.
These infrastructure projects, just like your typical home improvement project around your house, if you wait and delay and delay and delay, ultimately it costs a lot more than to have fixed it earlier on.
Yeah, and so they look for, as you said, they look for additional funding sources, and they start talking about tolling, and that money will go to metro instead of to rural areas. Eastern Oregon is another example, the snow plows that they need in the wintertime and the abuse that the roads take, and so that gets sacrificed. And I'm not saying, you know, what I learned Wednesday in Coos Bay and what I've watched, you know, the Coos and Curry coastline, Highway 101 has just taken tremendous hits over the years, especially the last few years with the rainstorms and the erosion. And so I got to give ODOT high marks on their response and their repairs. But a lot of those projects, they get delayed, as you just said. And so when it's part of our tourism program, when it's part of our access for rural somewhat isolated areas, it's a huge concern. And so, as rural legislators, we're just battling to make sure. I don't like the term necessarily our fair share, but, you know, our people pay the gas tax and the federal funding. We just want to make sure that our projects are front and center. And so we're going toe-to-toe with them, and that's just part of our responsibility.
How do you think we're doing this year with the wildland fire situation? Because as you mentioned that, most acres ever burned in a fire season, that's a big challenge, and it comes at a big cost.
You know, it's... in the last 14 months, Kyle, we've lost 6 mills, and that's right at 1,000 employees, 1,000 families. They can't get good. They can't get a sustainable, reliable source of timber for their mills. These are not poorly managed operations. These are part of Oregon's history and heritage. And so, when we, what's going on when I left Roseburg, went through Glide, the whole Archie Creek fire area, you look at all that timber that they wouldn't let us salvage. When the Oregonian taxpayers understand that those trees with all that value sit on the stump and we can't get them to the mills because of the radical environmentalists, that waste is just something that is, it just hurts the heart. And so we are just going to keep looking for wise forest management. We don't want to lose any more mills. We want to the Oregon forests are a giant garden, and they have to be harvested properly. And again, I could talk for an hour on that, but that has just got to change. And that's how we fund firefighting, through good forest management, timber harvest, and keeping the mills going. Our schools, our law enforcement, local law enforcement, and of course, ODOT. It's just, we can't continue this waste.
You know, with the mill closures, it seems like there's some concern in the industry, pretty substantial concern, that we may see more of these closures.
Well, I'm hoping and praying that's not the case. And, you know, especially in Douglas County, the 6 mills that we have, they're well managed. But they always have to fight for timber. And, you know, you just walk out the front door of their office, and everywhere you look, you see timber that's off limits. And that's because we fought, and I was at every meeting with the Oregon Department of Forestry on the habitat conservation plan and just on the state forest, cutting back for 55-60%. And that was a 4-3 vote on that board. We did everything we could to get that fourth vote so that we could manage our forest well and not follow, generally speaking, the national forest guidelines that they have shown improved, that they're just going to let it burn. And that sounds pretty harsh, but the facts and the history just are undeniable, and Oregon can do better, and we have to.
As you go through the summer, what are some of the other things that are ahead in your schedule in the next few days?
Oh, goodness, it seems like it never stops. You know, I will be at an Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association meeting tomorrow morning. Is this Monday? Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm going to meet with the new Oregon Emergency Management Director. She's actually on this trip, and so I've got to spend some time with her. And then her staff I'll see Tuesday, Deputy Director Winningham, and so I'll be there for an hour or two, and they're going to give me a tour. So just getting, just building relationships, Kyle, and respecting and appreciating the job that they're doing. And you know, one thing the director said to me yesterday, I really, as far as the state budget goes, I think she and her staff are really paying attention to every dollar. And sometimes that's not the case, as you well know, with different departments. I could tell you, I don't know what our time frame is today, but I could tell you a story about Governor Attia years ago that's just a kick. But if we had time, I could. But anyway, just monitoring state budgets, and we talk about pushing back against, you know, waste and abuse in that sense. And yet we don't get enough momentum sometimes, it seems, from the executive branch of the state government to really hold them accountable. And that's going to be another one of our causes and something we have to be successful in.
We'll look forward to the Vic Attia story when we come back for our second segment. State Representative Court Boyce with us. He is in Bend. 1247, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Still putting together tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, so make sure and be listening for that. State Representative Court Boyce with us over in Bend right now as he is going around various meetings in Oregon. You said you had a story about former governor, the late Vic Attia. Tell us about that.
You know, I used to take him upriver in the 80s, Kyle, and from Gold Beach up to Blossom Bar and the 104-mile river trip. And we're riding by some rafters one day, and I'm not paying attention. He's in the back seat. I'm visiting with the rafters. And all of a sudden, he stood up and says, "Court, can we go back and get that broken paddle?" Well, it was actually a broken oar. So I went back, fished it out of the water, threw it in the bottom of the boat, abbreviating. You know, I've kind of forgot about it. And he sent me a picture about 3 months later, and he had a very nicely choreographed, and he called it Up the Creek Without a Paddle Award, and he would present it biannually to the department head that wasted the most taxpayers' money. And so, of course, I just loved that. You know, I was in my 20s or 30s, whatever, then. And he says, "You know, Court, I wanted to give it to the Department of Administrative Services director to really honor him for wasting so much money, but he resigned before I could award him." So, anyway, for what that's worth.
Well, very interesting. As you look at the wildfire situation in Oregon, we've talked about the timber harvest issue. Are there other things that can be going on that would help us deal with these situations?
Well, if I learned anything in the legislature, even as a six-year commissioner, the spending at the state level is so misprioritized. You know, let me give you one example. $200 million we put up for chips manufacturing. I think I mentioned that actually in the last interview I had with you. And I'm not opposed to that, but can we afford it when we're competing with other states? And then Oregon Department of Forestry, the Forest Protective Association, struggling for funding and always looking over their shoulder. They should not be in that position. So I hope I'm answering your question there. It's what is more important than understanding the exposure that the citizens and the landowners and the timber companies and the communities have to wildland fire? We saw what happened in Ashland in 2020, the Labor Day fires. And, you know, I just have to keep beating that drum. And I'd love to have people say Boyce overstates it. But, you know, I would love to be wrong. But I've only had one since the 2017 Chetco Bar fire, and I go clear back to the 1987 Silver fire, since the Chetco Bar fire, I've only had 1 year where I didn't go in kind of nervous and then have a heavy heart at the end of the season with a tremendous amount of losses. And in Eastern Oregon right now, some of my colleagues there, Senator Finley and Rep. Bowens, I mean, they're seeing a way of life go away from ranchers who've been there for generations. And, you know, I'm not blaming that on any one, you know, entity, but we are not putting out the fires. We are not protecting the wildlife, the watersheds, and the private landowners, and protecting the public lands.
And one of the aspects of that is what happens after. I don't remember the percentage, but a number of people after Archie Creek, here we are 4 years later almost, have opted to simply move somewhere else, didn't have the funds to stay put, whether they were renting or owning property. And I heard a figure from on Friday, which was the one-year anniversary of the Lahaina Maui fires, that I think it was 15,000 people from that area have simply moved elsewhere, whether it's other parts of Hawaii or to other locations. So not only do you have the short-term damage in the buildings, but people's entire life and cycle of families getting totally uprooted.
You know, you just said it very well. Thank you. The key word is losses. Until we understand the level of disappointment and discouragement, and yes, then people have to move on. We already forget the 100 in Archie Creek fire, what was it, 105, 106 homes, talking to the Douglas County Commission in those days. I mean, they're practically in tears to see that kind of devastation. And that's why I put it in such a high priority. I've lived here my entire life. You know, I don't want to be a broken record, but I'm not going to back down from there is a better way. There are better ways, and that is you start with every road in the state of Oregon, and you hire people with good careers to firefight for 4 months, and then you go to every road. You go to 100, 200, 300 feet clearing, fuels abatement at both sides of the road. That's fire breaks for the wildlife, the firefighters, law enforcement, timber harvest, recreation, all of the above, Kyle.
Couple minutes left. As you look towards the 2025 session of the Oregon State Legislature, what is some of your priorities going to be?
You know, our crew is putting together about 8 or 9 bills right now. One thing I want to do is get state funding for deputy district attorneys. I've got support from all three county district attorneys. I believe I'll have support from all three county sheriffs. I just haven't had a chance to ask yet. The district attorneys, especially in rural Oregon, need additional support. The state pays the DA's salary, but they need to pay the district, the deputies as well, and so that we can make it easier and better for them to recruit. They're our top law enforcement people, crime fighters. You know, our state police has funded this, the same number of troopers that we had 50 years ago, and so here our population is, of course, doubled. So those are big ones. You know, my crew is really involved in the whole sex trafficking thing, just watching the cartels and how we can push back, how we can be aware, how we can protect our citizens. Public safety is a big one. Of course, we want to follow through with our veterans housing system that we got the $30 million for in Roseburg. You know, we're on our toes. We are we're getting it done. It's pretty intense, just like over here. It's a learning experience. It's just absolutely invaluable. But yeah, it gets pretty intense sometime, but that's what we signed up for, and I'm looking forward to the 2025 session.
And I'm hearing from some of the federal folks that they believe in the omnibus spending bill late October, early November at the federal level, that the money should be there for the VA, for the veterans home on the VA property. And that's the final piece. And then obviously a lot of work will be ahead to get some movement actually going on that project.
again, we're on our toes. We just want to make sure that we don't overlook that. We have great confidence that that'll get done, but we don't want to even be on our heels for a split second and perhaps, you know, drop the ball or not let our national delegation know how critical this is and get that going. And I got to say a big thank you to the Douglas County Commissioners and Senator Brock Smith. It's just, boy, it's just been a tough task, but we've got reason to celebrate. As you just said, we got that one piece left.
All right, we're out of time now. State Representative Court Boyce, thanks for being on.
Take care, Kyle. Thank you again.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.